Today's episode of the Can Be Now podcast is brought to you by Gustafson Insurance, business, home, and auto insurance made simple. For a free quote, call 503-266-2216.
This episode is also brought to you by Canby Signs and Graphics, creative geniuses, state-of-the-art technology. If you need something printed on anything, visit them today at canbygraphics.com.
This tax exemption eludes me like a gazelle eludes an arthritic cat.
Why can't Canby people keep track of their dogs? Like, what is...
To do that, you can't be stupid with guns.
Yeah. Is that the board is saying they want to make Canby schools great again?
It feels like we've been doing this interview for years.
Inside of me was screaming.
You run for school board, you win or you die.
There's no second place. Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
I'm James Walton.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
A group of Portland-based entrepreneurs can move forward with their plans to build a large recreational cannabis operation for multiple licensed growers on land they own just outside of Canby. That's the situation now that an impartial hearings officer ruled in their favor last week in their case against Clackamas County. The company is Horta Latitude 45 LLC. In 2017, they paid $665,000 to purchase a 21-acre farm property located about a mile and a half south of Canby across Highway 170 from the Lone Elder store. They plan to build eight approximately 3,400 square foot greenhouses on concrete pads, which could then be leased to multiple licensed marijuana growers, essentially acting as tenant farmers. In addition to the eight greenhouses for indoor production, Horta's plans include 2.3 acres that would be used for outdoor growing. Additional buildings would be used for security, storage, and processing of the cannabis oils and concentrates. Their plans were approved by the county in June of 2018, but 9 months later, a new ordinance was passed prohibiting more than one cannabis production license per parcel of land. It basically made Horta's business model illegal. So hence the appeal, in which Horta had argued that the county cannot pass new ordinances that retroactively restrict projects that had already been approved. Evidently, the hearing officer, Fred Wilson, agreed. The county had argued that Horta never specified their intentions to have a certain number of growers on their property, which is true, but there's also a good reason for that. At the time, they didn't have to. And while the county had tried to argue that Horta could still realize its previously approved plans, just with one licensed grower as opposed to the nine they were hoping for, Wilson was not convinced. While the county's permit did not specifically allow for multiple licensed premises, as there was no need to at the time, it certainly did not restrict the approval to one licensed premise, Wilson wrote. He continued, "As explained earlier, I just do not see that there is any doubt that the proposed use was for multiple licensed premises, and it would be financially irresponsible overkill to seek approval of eight greenhouses and one outdoor grow area for a single licensed premises." What he means is that the OLCC regulations restrict each licensed grower to a maximum area of 10,000 square feet. So building premises that would accommodate approximately three times that much didn't make a whole lot of sense, unless your plan was to host multiple licensed growers all along. Wilson's decision basically requires the county to honor its original decision in approving the company's plans. The approval is good for 4 years, which gives them until June of 2020. The county cannot appeal the decision by its hearing officer, but another party could, like one of the neighbors who testified against it during the earlier hearing on October 3rd. If an appeal is filed, the county would be tasked with defending Wilson's decision. Several representatives of the Canby Transgender Alliance appeared before the mayor and city council last week. They read prepared statements to recognize International Transgender Day of Remembrance. Held on November 20th, which was also the date of the city council meeting, it is a day to memorialize those who have been murdered because of their gender identity and to draw attention to continued violence against transgender people. One member of the group, Sarah Rodriguez, read a letter from another member explaining that a number of transgender residents in the Canby community do not feel safe publicly identifying themselves or speaking out.
In this day and age, bigotry should have no place in this world. Every minority group has the right to be acknowledged and accepted. No one should ever fall victim to abuse, violence, let alone be killed for who they are. So we stand for the members of our town who do not feel safe due to being transgender. Please gain a greater understanding and acceptance, as well as compassion, and act humanely to all people.
The Canby Transgender Alliance formed earlier this year in the wake of a failed proclamation that had been brought to the city recognizing Transgender Day of Visibility, which is observed in March. Mayor Brian Hodson declined to read the proclamation, and with the help of several city councilors, he asked to study the process and make recommendations. He later announced new policies concerning proclamations, including that he would no longer consider any that recognize groups based on race, sex, gender, age, religion, nation of origin, or sexual orientation. Amira Stanley, another Alliance member, spoke to Mayor Hodson last week, saying that they had met on several occasions and that he is, quote, an awesome person. But she feels his proclamation policy still has room for improvement.
Brian, you and I have met several times. We've gotten to know each other a little bit, and I genuinely think that you're an awesome person. I strongly suggest that you and your circle of influence take some diversity or sensitivity training. We all want to have a place in this world. Your proclamation policy is not inclusive, and it does not make an entire group of people, including myself, feel as though we have a place in Canby. People need to understand you do not have to agree with who people are to or their belief systems to make sure that they matter.
Responding later in the meeting, Mayor Hodson expressed his sincere appreciation to each of the four members who spoke and their continued efforts to promote honest and constructive dialogue in the Canby community.
I appreciate you coming today. I'm very much aware of what today is. So I appreciate you coming and making the statements that you made tonight. I know that you've been vigilant in your conversations within your groups as well as within the community and reaching out. I know that Amira, you and I have had a couple of conversations, and Christy, you and I have talked as well. So I appreciate that you keep coming and keep asking the questions and keep bringing these things forward. So thank you for doing that.
Another counselor, Sean Varwig, also addressed the commenters in later remarks, expressing his dismay that anyone would feel unsafe at City Hall, and going so far as to apologize for anything he may have ever done to make someone feel that way. "It makes me really sad that people are afraid to come here," he said. "Whether we agree or not, this should never be a place where people are scared to come." He and other members of the council expressed interest in the possibility of revisiting and reaffirming the city's statement for a safe community, which, quote, endorse a culture of appreciation for the inherent value of all persons within the community, regardless of race, sex, age, national origin, religion, sexual orientation, or other characteristic. The Canby School District has not yet decided if it will pursue placing a new bond measure before the voters in the May or November 2020 elections. Because the current bond is set to expire at the end of next year, the district may ask voters to consider a new package at the same tax rate. Essentially, this would be an extension of the current rate, raising millions to improve the district's school facilities without raising taxes. An additional incentive to a May bond proposal would be that if the district is successful, they would receive an additional $4.8 million in grant funds from the Oregon Office of School Facilities. This grant award would have expired by November, so the district would have to reapply, and there's no guarantee they would receive it again. Recent polling that was completed by Patinkin Research Strategies indicated positive signs for the community's interest in many of the items that could be included in the proposed bond package, including safety and technology upgrades. Okay, so why hasn't the school board decided to pull the trigger yet? One big holdup may be that the deadline to be on this ballot for the May primary is February 28th, and there's some concern that there wouldn't be enough time to conduct the thorough, community-involved process that the board would like to see. As of last week, that appears to no longer be a problem, according to District Communications Coordinator Autumn Foster.
I'm really excited to say got to a place where we're going to have all of those meetings as originally designed. So we will have 5 separate bond development committee meetings and 2 public community meetings. So that is the best news I think we could have hoped for, because we were kind of tailoring our approach to some limited timetables. So
the district, with the help of their hired consultants, have laid out a plan that allow for a total of 7 meetings before the board's February deadline. 5 of these meetings would be for a bond development group to work on the package, and 2 will be for opportunities for the public to weigh in. The bond development group consists of approximately 25 business owners, community members, and district staff and administrators. Their first meeting will be December 4th, Foster said.
And that is where she's really going to explain to everybody what we're doing there, what they're tasked with, which I think is really important. They need to understand that they're an advisory committee. They're not making decisions about anything that may or may not be referred to voters. And then they'd give them kind of the background, all of the documents. This is the report. This is what we know needs to be done already.
This will kick off a long series of meetings through December, January, and early February, in which the development group, with the help of district staff and the community, refine the final bond package that will be presented to the school board. They are scheduled to vote on the matter at a special session on February 11th. If they vote to move forward, it will initiate 2 more weeks of public comment and polling. As Foster explained, the process is set up this way to give the board time to reverse course if the public shows overwhelming opposition to the proposal.
Now, all that is to say, if we get through the public comment period and there is 9,000 people who are like, don't do this, we can again look at this and say, you know what, we're not going to file on February 28th. We still have that option. But in terms of when you need to make decisions, that is all outlined here. So February 11th being a special board meeting. So you have a week to review, share your feedback, and then be prepared to have a vote on the ballot language on February 11th.
For more information about the district's earlier polling numbers on the possible bond proposal, visit our website, canbenowpod.com. $9,660,097. That's how much the city's public transportation program, Canby Area Transit, or CAT, has been awarded in grant funding over the past decade. The success is credited to CAT Director Julie Whaling, who was recently named Outstanding Public Transportation Manager of the Year by the Oregon Transit Association. The Canby City Council recognized Julie for her award and her many other achievements at their regular meeting last week. Mayor Brian Hodson summed it up by calling her an, quote, amazing transit director.
But you're a constant professional. You are constantly looking to the future. Like she mentioned, the master plan being almost completed and we're only 2 years into it, and we're already looking at what do we need to do to enhance. You've maximized funds, you've addressed paratransit. That's always been a big piece for me, and I love that that's always been something that we've strived to keep active and going in our community. So thank you so much for all that you do in your role to keep Canby moving.
Councilor Greg Parker took the opportunity to highlight the important role that CAT plays in our community, particularly for working families.
If you're going to work, you need 2 things. You need childcare and you need transportation. And our transit system is one of the tools that people who are suffering at the bottom of a broken economic system are going to find as a way to help achieve economic stability. So the more that we can put into our transit system, as you have done in terms of making it a commuter alternative, or for some, the only option to getting to work. So thank you, Julie. You made a difference.
Reached after the meeting, Julie said it, quote, has been a pleasure to serve. It has been rewarding to do a job that helps people get to the places they need to go, she said. I've loved working in public transit because I can see the good it does for my neighbors and the community. But of course, nothing good lasts forever. Julie has also announced her retirement effective April 3rd, 2020. She and her husband have bought a place in Newport, and they hope to retire there full-time. She said she's looking forward to walks on the beach with her children, grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren. I think I speak for all of us here in Cambie when I say, safe travels and happy trails. Interstate 205 was closed for several hours during the morning commute Monday after an Estacada man died after being struck by several vehicles. Oregon State Police identified the victim as 29-year-old Jason Malash. Police say Malash was wearing all black clothing and was walking in one of the lanes of travel. Investigators determined Malash was struck by at least three vehicles. The driver stayed on the scene and cooperated with the investigation. Police have not released any further information as to why Malash was in the roadway. All lanes of I-205 northbound were closed that morning while police investigated.
All right, Cambie, it's time once again to sit down and look over just the best people in our city. It's Police Beat for the week of October 22nd through the 28th. On October 22nd at 1:19 a.m., a cyclist operating a gas-powered bicycle without reflectors or lights after dark was stopped and cited. They'll be cited more now that they're going to get the reflectors and lights. Huh? Frankie's not the only one with jokes, people. At 10:58 p.m., an uninsured vehicle being driven by a suspended driver was stopped. Suspected heroin and methamphetamine were seized from the vehicle before it was towed. Because, I mean, how can you be stopped in this town and not have heroin and methamphetamine? I think it just, like, I think it's the law that you have to have them. I think that's the new law that's going into place. On October 23rd at 1:10 a.m., officers were called to a bar after a customer reportedly unholstered his firearm. Not a fun time. 10:33 a.m., a woman on post-prison supervision was arrested for possession of methamphetamine and violating her conditions of release. At 3:40 p.m., a man was arrested on an outstanding warrant. That's an easy one. On October 24th at 6:15 a.m., single vehicle crash into a utility pole. What that person had against the pole, I guess we'll never really know. Report of a hit and run at 2:45 p.m., and the damage was to a parked car. Again, what these people have against static things that don't move, I don't know. On October 25th, report of a disturbance involving juveniles near the Cambie High School. At 7:34 p.m., an officer responded to a report of an unconscious person and performed CPR until medical personnel arrived. Nice. At 9:51 p.m., following a traffic stop, the driver was arrested for DUI, controlled substance, and cited for making an unsignaled turn and failing to obey a traffic-controlled device. 11:28 p.m., an uninsured vehicle was stopped and the driver was issued a citation for failure to install a court-ordered ignition interlock device. I don't know what that is, but it sounds futuristic. And also for driving without insurance, because why would you do that? I mean, why would you have insurance? Obviously, you don't need that. The only thing you're missing is some heroin in the car. Oh, wait! Heroin was also seized from his passenger. On October 26th, at 11:55 p.m., an uninsured vehicle being driven by a driver whose license had been revoked due to a felony assault charge was stopped. The driver was arrested for DUI, obviously, controlled substance, possession of methamphetamine, obviously, and driving with a suspended license, and an outstanding Multnomah County parole violation warrant. I mean, was he going for a record? Was he going, like, if I'm going to get stopped in Cambie, I'm going to get stopped for everything in Cambie. 7:30 p.m. on October 27th, a vehicle traveling significantly under the posted speed limit was stopped. The driver was cited for driving while suspended and released, as the officer had to respond to another call. See, I'm... people driving too slow. I mean, yes, don't drive too fast, but don't drive too slow! And then at 7:54 p.m., so 25 minutes later, officers responded to a domestic disturbance call and took one person into custody. On October 28th, finally, a report of fraud after a potential victim learned an unknown person had attempted to use unauthorized funds from their bank account. Scary. Are you a small business owner or maybe thinking of investing in yourself with your very own startup? Awesome! Now all you have to do is reach potential customers at a time when consumers have never been more fragmented, more distracted, or more difficult to reach. If that sounds hard, believe me, it is. That's why I make Frankie do it.
Carrie and her team at Promotional Strategies offer strategic, purposeful solutions to build your brand with lasting promotional items that make sense for you and your company. They are creative geniuses who will deliver advertisements that people actually thank you for and will use every day. We've tried other sellers, and we trust Carrie to provide high-quality branded items that we can be proud of. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com.
I am not a golfer. I mean, I'm not a good golfer. So when I want to play a few rounds, I head over to Frontier Golf Course. They're a family-owned, family-friendly 9-hole course with beautiful scenery. And they let me rent clubs or bring my own. And they don't judge me for my slices and hacks. Or, you know, my language.
Frontier Golf Course is a great place to meet your buddies and have a drink or bring your kids along. They're located on Holly Street just north of town. If you hit the ferry, you've gone too far.
Also, please don't hit the ferry.
Yeah, please don't. But do ask them about Farley the Goat. They love that. Frontier prides itself on being the best value course you'll find in the area. If you haven't been by in a while, you've got to come check out what the new owners have done. Frontier Golf Course, it's a new frontier. My guest on the Canby Conversation today is a man who has been described even as recently as today as a national treasure. It is Mike Merrill, better known as Pappy of Pappy's Greasy Spoon. Hey, Pappy.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. How are you today?
Just great. I'm here for you today. This is my day off, but let's get it rolling.
You came in just for me. Thanks for putting on pants. I appreciate that. That was a request that I did have.
So. Yeah.
Pappy's Greasy Spoon is, I see it all the time on the top 10 lists, you know, best restaurants, best diners, most fun places to eat, etc. Not even just for like, you know, Canby or Clackamas County, but like for the whole state, you know, it's a destination, it's something that's up there. But when you come in here, you don't have awards on the walls, you don't have, you know, I get the sense that that's not really something that matters to you too much.
It does matter. I'm proud of our position here. We do a good job. I got a good crew, but I don't need to brag about it.
So tell me a little bit about how you got into the business.
I had a construction business back in 1999. I expanded. I went from me and my son, mostly maintenance, but I went from me and my son to 8 employees in a year. And we were taking care of over 3,000 rental units all over Portland. And when 9/11 hit, I was out on a limb, but cash flow was paying the bills. But when 9/11 hit, everybody clammed up, stopped paying their bills, and I lost it all. So by chance, I left the bankruptcy attorney with my late wife Becky and went into the bowling alley. And who had the restaurant at the time, the snack bar, had shafted the owner and took off, and he was trying to do both. And I looked around, seen the grill and everything, and I says, this looks like fun. We discussed a lease agreement for about an hour. I wrote him a check and see you the 1st of March. That was in 2002. And it's just snowballed ever since.
Yeah. So you didn't come from the restaurant business. That's interesting.
I've always loved to cook.
Yeah.
So, and look what's happened.
Yeah. Well, and I know we were talking earlier, you love a diner. You love a good diner. That's kind of...
Yep. I grew up riding in the truck with my dad, and when we stopped to eat, he said, you eat at a diner or a greasy spoon? And that's where I got the name. And a local councilman said the name wouldn't fly, but after we got picked number one in the state 2 years ago, he came over and apologized and said the name had nothing to do with it. I goes, yeah, I know.
Yeah, you need more than someone who's in the marketing business and communication business. So you do need more than slick marketing and a good name. You gotta have a good product.
That's it, man. I like seeing people go out the door with a smile on their face and with something to go with them.
Yeah.
Good meal for a decent price. It's hard to find anymore.
Yeah. So how do you develop your menu? What's the process of...
The basis of it started as a bowling alley, and over the years I've added on certain people that aren't with us anymore, whatever their favorite breakfast is, their name's on the menu. Mm-hmm. So if you see your name on the menu, God bless you.
Yeah, thanks for inspiring that.
The special next week be Tyler Frankberger.
The Tyler Frankberger. I don't want to know what would be on there. Yeah. A lot of salt, maybe.
Yeah.
But you do love the community here. I mean, you talk about that a lot, and that's a big part of what...
Very good town. It sure has grown a lot, but the more it grows, the more the business grows, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good people in this town.
Yeah.
When my late wife got cancer, we didn't have insurance. And this little community raised us over $20,000 to help pay medical bills, and it sure came in handy.
Yeah.
Over $10,000 of that was from the Knights of Columbus. God bless them too.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that'll be 7 years ago, January.
Yeah.
Now I'm remarried and happy as a clam.
Well, so it's Thanksgiving. What do you do? Do you cook for Thanksgiving? Is that your day off?
The day off? Yeah. One of the kids are usually cooking, which is good because I don't have to do anything.
Hmm.
3 years ago, I stopped, but I did a free Thanksgiving dinner for the people that didn't have family or couldn't afford it. And all of it was donations from the people of the town, but after 7 years, I think I did my time, and it's nice to spend it with family.
Sure, absolutely.
And we're closed.
You kind of said that aggressively toward the microphone. Make sure people heard that. So what kind of stuff what happens at the Pappy home for Thanksgiving? You guys just do the traditional stuff, or is it just a big pile of eggs and bacon or something?
I think maybe for breakfast. I'm going to my son's for Thanksgiving dinner, and it's... Like I said, doing what I did for 7 years, it was a commotion, and you don't see your family.
Yeah, sure.
And now it's nice to spend time with them, because time is getting shorter the longer Pappy goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Any fun stories that just kind of describes a little bit of the characters you get in here, some of the community stuff that happens here? The food here is great, but I love just kind of sitting here and seeing some of the characters and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of regulars, and if I don't rattle their cage, they won't come back. So they just keep coming back, and I'm good at rattling cages.
Yeah. I believe that.
And new customers, most of my reviews, if you read some of them, they are more impressed that the owner comes out and talks to them. And that's what I like to do, talk. Yeah.
Talk or yell.
Sometimes I have to yell. And I'm good at insulting. Ralph's out there. I can't get rid of him.
No matter how hard you try.
Yep. Yeah. That guy at the counter, he's here every day.
Yeah, love it. Boom. And it's just the community that keeps you going. I mean, you're at this, you've been almost 20 years now.
Yep.
Yeah.
20 years. 19 in March, one more year, and I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet. I got a couple people interested, but I might make my wife and my grandson partners out of it and let them run it.
Yeah, cool.
Like to see it keep going.
Well, so that would be Pappy Jr.
Yeah. Well, he's bigger than I don't know about Junior.
Where did the Pappy name come from? The greasy spoon part.
My oldest son nicknamed me Pappy years ago, so I put the two together.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah. And the road trips with your dad, you said? Or was it that for
my dad drove a truck back east, and he'd pick up eggs off the farm, take them to market. And if I was in trouble at school, I had to go with him on the truck, so I spent a lot of time on the truck.
Gotcha.
And when we'd stop to eat, he says, "You eat at a diner or a greasy spoon?"
Yeah.
And So that's where I come up with the name. And it's worked. Yeah. It scares some people, but we do have lettuce.
I bet, yeah.
We do wraps.
Yeah. Well, and even like Chris Lancioni, like your neighbor at Sunshine Athletics, was in here earlier today. I was a little surprised to see him because he's so health conscious, but he's
eating oatmeal.
He's a regular here.
Yeah. Yep.
He does the oatmeal and
I've
stuff.
Known his wife since she was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Oh, yeah.
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 She grew up right next door to us. I've known her since she was 3-4 years old.
Oh, cool.
He's good kids.
Yeah, yeah, they are. Cool. Well, we are going to do some cooking.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's Thanksgiving and that's what you do. And I want to learn some of your tricks of the trade.
Well, I don't have any turkey bacon, so don't ask.
You have to be regular bacon. But, cool. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with that.
Yeah, they're out front.
What do you like to eat here?
I don't eat here. I'm healthy.
What's your specialty? Like, what?
Omelets.
Omelets. Let's do omelet.
Dog leg? What do you like in your omelet?
I want to learn some stuff here. I'm a terrible cook, so.
What do you want in your omelet?
Bacon, cheese, and, I don't know, something healthy.
Onions, peppers?
Sure.
Mushrooms?
Sure. Crowded in here.
Yeah.
Okay, what do I do?
Okay, there's your mushrooms.
Okay.
Did you wash your hands twice?
I guess I'm the one eating it.
Yeah, what the heck, go ahead.
Okay.
Get a handful.
Get a handful of mushrooms.
Yeah, you need more than that.
More than that, okay.
There's a pappy. There you go. Throw them on a grill over there in the back corner.
Back corner over there.
Okay.
You wanted onions and peppers? There you go, right there. Grab a handful.
All right.
Those are already cooked. Throw them on top of your mushrooms.
Like bacon to me.
Yeah, dice it up.
Okay. How'd you learn to cook?
I grew up feeding my brothers and sisters. You didn't line them all up? You want to do it 6 times? Here, I'll show you.
Okay.
You'll grab me a tray.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. There you go. Okay.
Don't make fun of me too bad. I already said I'm not good at cooking.
Good thing you got a wife. There you go. Spray your bacon on.
Thank you. Throw it on here?
No.
Oh, over there. Yeah.
On the grill, man. We're going to cook it in the front table. Come on.
I know.
You must live out in the country.
I don't think I'm going to get hired here.
There you go.
Okay.
I need a little dab of butter to throw it on there.
Yeah, I feel like a little dab is bigger than...
There you go.
Yeah.
That's patent size. There.
All right. I think that's a relative term here.
Now you want to put that like that.
Okay.
Put it on it. Let it set there a little bit.
Okay. What do you throw in there?
A little water.
A little water. Okay.
Steams up the mushrooms for you.
Okay. So you cook for your brothers and sisters?
Yep. I had 6 brothers and sisters. I was the second, the oldest, and mom and dad worked all the time, so I did most of the cooking.
Yeah.
To feed them.
Yeah.
And I've always enjoyed food.
Probably get asked a lot about the stuff in the diner.
Put your toast down with it.
Okay.
There you go.
Where's all the decorations come from for the diner? They've got a lot of like Coke stuff, retro stuff.
90% of all that's from my customers. They all like me. I don't know what's wrong with them. And then the wife's got a whole room back there full of decorations for all the holidays.
Yeah.
There's no Thanksgiving up this year because she's in Idaho seeing her new grandson who was just born on Monday.
Oh, cool. Congratulations.
And she's coming home tonight, so let's hurry up here because this is my last day of peace. And don't cut that out.
Yeah, right. I'll leave that in. Don't worry. The decor that you got, the vibe in there, is just sort of a simpler, like more retro vibe. Is that what you enjoy?
The old 50s, 60s diner.
Yeah.
my retirement, that day ever comes.
Yeah, right.
Grab that ticket in the window there, see what that guy wants to see.
Okay.
Right there, see?
Yep. I can read pancakes.
Chicken fried.
Chicken fried.
Put that basket down while you're sitting.
Okay.
And French toast.
Got a special grill just for the pancakes.
Yep, it's grease free.
It's looking awful big there, Pappy.
Nobody leaves here. They did. They ordered.
That's like a hubcap size.
If they did, well, you can put it on your rig. Crunchy toast.
Is there anything special you do with the pancakes? That's something you're sort of known for as well, the pancakes.
Just make them big. We have blueberries to put in them.
Yeah.
That's the only fruit I carry, because it's the best one for you.
Yeah, very health conscious here at Pappy, as I've
heard. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready to do your omelet?
Yes. Okay.
All right, your toast is down.
Toast it down.
Get a slab of butter there. Grease this middle up.
Okay.
Spread it around, big enough for an omelet. Okay.
Okay.
Here's some scrambled eggs. We scrambled our own eggs. No phony products here.
Okay.
Just see how he does. Pick yourself whatever size you want, there you go.
Oh my gosh. Not a lot of direction here.
A little more.
More?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Now get a handful of cheese, spread that around in the middle.
Okay.
Well, I might hire you.
I don't think you will.
Get your spatula and mix up the ingredients there so it's all even.
Okay.
Sometimes it's either, sometimes it ain't.
Yeah.
Put that little puree spatula down. Get a spatula over there.
All right.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Mix that crap up and then throw it in the middle of your oven.
Okay.
Sideways. There you go.
There we go. We don't have spatulas like this at home. Don't tell my wife I know how to cook, okay?
I'm beginning to wonder.
Okay, got it.
Okay,
all.
There you go.
Okay, and then just flip it up.
Flip up both ends that way first.
There you go.
Flip it over. There you go. Another one. There you go. Now fold the other two right over it.
Okay.
Perfect. There you go. One more. There you go.
There
not
is.
A bad-looking omelet for the first time.
Really not bad.
Yeah.
I would eat that. I guess I am going to eat it.
Problem is, people are dying of starvation out there. That's why you're on the podcast and I have a restaurant.
Well, yeah, nobody wants to eat it. Can't be now restaurant.
Let that cook for a little bit.
Okay.
Over a little bit so your cheese melts up.
Yeah. All righty.
I'll buy you a toast for you before it turns green.
Thank you.
How's it looking?
I think it's looking pretty good.
There you go. Keep it up on our plate. Let them go.
All right, compliments to the chef.
Get some taters.
Some taters.
Here comes the gravy for you.
Okay. I don't know if I can eat all this.
I'm going to take it home. Your wife won't have to cook for you.
For a week. Okay, I have some potatoes.
You know, your potatoes on the counter?
Man, I haven't cooked something this edible looking in a long time.
There you go. Take it out of the counter there, your silverware. Right behind the counter, grab some silverware and go eat.
All right, thanks, Pappy.
Thank you.
And people can find you on your website or just give you a call?
Yeah, they can go to findtheadvantage.com or call 266-5800, obviously 503 area code. And we love to chit-chat. And we have, 8 or 9 different loan officers here in the Canby office that would love to sit down with somebody and work with them.
Cool. Thanks, Derek.
Derek Hill, NMLS number 50183, Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 177059, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Okay, for this segment, we have traveled once again to the North Pole to talk to an elf, Elf 314, coming back on the show from her popular appearance last year. Hi, Elf.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing? How are things in the Arctic?
They're starting to get pretty snowy, actually.
I bet.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, real name Linda Tate, alias Elf 314. This is the third year, I believe. That you have been organizing this really cool local initiative, Letters to Santa. Why don't you describe it for us?
Well, it started 3 years ago when there was two brand new businesses in town, and we were trying to figure out how to support them, how to drive business in their door. And it was Christmas time, and I thought, well, it'd be kind of fun, just put some, you know, a mailbox in there and tell the kids that they could drop off a letter to Santa, and then I would write back, me being Santa, and everybody would be happy. And it went really well, and the second year it grew, and this year it really, really exploded.
Yeah. So you have, what, like 14 or 15 different businesses that are participating this year?
You want to know who's participating?
I would love to.
Okay. we have the Book Nook, Lone Elder Pizza, Route 99, Canby Rental, Fultano's, Lori's Book Exchange, which is actually up in Oregon City.
Okay, cool.
Uh-huh. Hearts and Hair, Victory Point Properties, Mint Hair Salon, Wayward Sandwiches, Ebner's, Rainbow Hair, Tyler Smith & Associates, Ratcliffe House, Next Home Realty by Design, and Ultimate Team Spirit.
Wow, that's a really good sprinkling of like all different businesses. And I mean, that just says to me that Santa is just very interested in getting those letters and hearing from kids. He wants to be as accessible as possible. That's just really great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that about Santa. Yeah. So how does it work? The kids can just make their letters at home, or do they get paper at the businesses, at the mailboxes? Or
The safest bet is to write your letter at home. And then I really strongly encourage the adults to put the return address on the envelopes, because last year I had some trouble reading some handwriting.
Oh, no, you don't say.
and some didn't have an address. And so the town came together and we figured out who it was and we got those letters home.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but it really was a heart stopper, because you don't want a child to see everybody else getting their letter and they don't get one.
They didn't get one back. Yeah, that would be not a good Christmas.
No.
So you read the letters from the kids and you write back. What is that like?
I do. It's a lot of fun, especially if they ask me questions. My favorite one so far has been, Santa, why are you so I'll say heavy. Rotund.
No, that's a good question, though.
He was concerned about Santa's health.
He just is concerned about Santa's health as all. And kids are just wonderfully honest at times. I have had heard of kids asking people why they're so fat. So
exactly.
They don't mean anything by it. They're just curious.
Absolutely. He was concerned for Santa's health. And so I told him, I said, you know, you're right. And maybe if instead of cookies and milk, if you could leave me some celery and peanut butter, that would probably be better.
With little raisins.
Yeah.
Ants on a log.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. What does it just kind of feel like to be able to fulfill this role for kids, keep that magic alive a little bit here in Canby?
I really love it. I think kids grow up in general too quickly these days, and it gives them that little extra bit of childhood to hang on to. I think that some of the letters were wonderful. Others were absolutely heartbreaking.
Oh, I bet.
Last year, a group of kids from one family said they didn't want anything other than a cure for cancer for their mom's best friend.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they were sad because their mom was sad.
Yeah.
And so those, you know, you when you write back, it's basically what lovely children you are.
Yeah.
And how nice of you to think of others ahead of yourself. And that's really kind of the answer that Santa gives.
Yeah.
thank you for being so wonderful. The world needs you.
Yeah, that's really cool. About how many letters did you get last year? I know it's kind of grown even in the past 2 years, and you don't know what the numbers are yet this year. But
Last year was 153.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And you're probably anticipating more this year with it growing and with it being in more businesses.
Yes, we've got a lot more businesses and a lot more awareness. And people stepped up. I asked for sponsors this year to just send us $10. And I am so excited and so happy with how that has turned out. The stamps have been covered, which was a big hit for me last year.
Sure, sure. I bet 153 letters. I probably haven't sent 153 letters in my entire life. Like, right. I edited it up. That's, yeah.
I work full time, so I was up till 2 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, but that's so cool that you do it by hand. It's not like a form letter. So,
no, no, it's not a form. Everybody's questions are specifically answered.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. And you just, I mean, you're just kind of the spirit of Christmas even yourself, right? Like, that's, you get into it. When you go and get the letters, like, you dress up like an elf.
I do. Yeah. We're delivering mailboxes the 29th of November, and so that will actually be everybody's ability to, like, get out and see the elf if they want to.
Okay.
I'm also willing to, sometime in December, maybe take a chair to Waite Park and some candy canes, and kids can come and get pictures or whatever, but that's up to the community if they want that.
Yeah, okay. That's really cool. When is that going to be again?
The Waite Park one?
Yeah.
To be announced.
Okay.
If there's an interest, I'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And just, why do you love Christmas so much?
You know, it just brings back such good memories for me of my childhood growing up. My parents didn't ruin it for me. I believe it was the kids at school that finally told me Santa wasn't real.
Oh,
yeah.
When you, like, in college age? Or...
Yeah, kind of around there. It took a while, and I still don't believe it.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, we've had Santa in the studio, so.
Right,
yeah,
yeah. Right, right,
good,
right.
Good
right.
friend, Ed Grotsky. But, and you kind of go out even in your house with the decorations.
Yeah,
I believe it's been described as a Christmas tree throwing up in your living room at times. So,
right, yeah.
You're up in your game this year?
I actually am. I have some extra tubs to put out this year, so I'm kind of excited about that. And never underestimate the power of an elf. I was over at the grocery store last year with my hat, and you shouldn't. And a little girl was crying and kind of having a little bit of a temper fit, and her mom kept saying, "You better be good." And I walked around the corner and with my elf hat and looked at her, and all of a sudden this look of realization came over her face, and her mom said, "See, I told you, Santa has spies everywhere."
Oh my gosh, that is such a great story. I love that.
I took a pad out of my purse and I started writing things down, you know, and kept looking at her and watching her. She straightened right up.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's great. That could be an additional service that you end up providing to parents here as this thing continues to grow. Right. Well, thank you so much, Linda, for this wonderful, unique Canby thing that you put on each year.
Yeah.
And look forward to seeing you out and about in your elf outfits.
Absolutely.
Canby Then is brought to you by Retro Revival. They are not your average antique shop. Open daily. Find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grant Street in downtown Canby. On Canby Then this week, and in honor of the Thanksgiving holiday, we wanted to revisit one of the most fascinating and intriguing episodes that we have ever run across in our digging through Canby's history. It happened right around this time of year back in 1915. 2 years prior, in 1913, Oscar W. Sturgis, a well-known Clackamas County pioneer and Canby farmer, made a very difficult decision. He had his 40-year-old son, Charlie, committed to the State Insane Asylum in Salem. We don't know the exact circumstances of this decision, but we know that Oscar Sturgis was in his 70s, and his wife, 15 years younger, was also in poor health. It's reasonable to assume that the Sturgises were unable to provide the level of care that Charlie needed. The Oregon State Hospital in the early 1900s was a dark and infamous place, which is not unusual in a time when mental illness was greatly feared and poorly understood. The hospital was underfunded and overcrowded. Later, its staff would participate in the eugenics movement, sterilizing more than 2,600 patients over the years and experimenting with practices now considered barbaric, including electroshock therapy and insulin shock therapy, where patients were repeatedly treated with large doses of insulin to induce daily comas. Is it any wonder that in April 1915, less than 2 years after he'd been institutionalized, Charlie Sturgis, along with another group of patients, escaped from the Oregon State Hospital? It was also not surprising, at least not to the local officials who were investigating the case, when a body turned up near the mountains of Eugene, near the Wendling branch of the Southern Pacific Railroad. The man, who had evidently been murdered, matched Charlie's description and was wearing his hospital-issued clothing. Back in Canby, the Sturgises were informed of the gruesome discovery and sent a family friend, A.J. Burdett, to view the corpse. He positively identified it, noting a particular scar on the neck that was a match to Charlie Sturgis. The body was transported back home and laid to rest in a family plot at the Canby Oddfellows Cemetery. Months passed, and the family worked to move on and put the sad episode behind them. As the holidays drew near, one can imagine how heavily the tragic loss of their ill son must have weighed on his parents' heart. I can only guess that they must have blamed themselves for his death. "If only we hadn't sent him away," they must have lamented in the dark, cold hours of the night. "If only we had kept him home for a little while longer, things might have turned out differently." Then, on November 21st, 4 days before Thanksgiving, a knock came on the door of the Sturgis family home. It was perhaps the most unexpected knock in the history of Canby. It was Charlie Sturgis. Miraculously alive, smiling, and in good health, mind and body. The door had been answered by his sister, Bertha Hurst, who was dumbfounded, obviously, and maybe more than a little afraid to see the man her family had buried months ago standing before her and waiting impatiently to be invited in. When she recovered, she took Charlie to his old room, then went to break the news to their mother. She knew she had to handle this carefully, given her mother's fragile state of health. She asked, "Can you stand some news which might be a little shock?" "Oh, yeah, I guess, but what is it?" her mother replied. She explained that her brother Charlie was not dead. In fact, he had just come home. Her mother promptly fainted. "We had to put her to bed and call Dr. Dedham," Bertha later recalled. When Oscar Sturgis was told the news, he had the same reaction. Charlie, of course, had no idea that he had been pronounced dead, that he'd had a funeral, and that there was even a body in a cemetery with a tombstone bearing his name. And his sister was reluctant to tell him for fear of the effect this would have on his own mental state. He had, after all, been a patient at a mental institution only a few months earlier, and the only reason he was not still there was because he had escaped. For this same reason, he was not told of the impact his return had had on his parents. "Everything possible is being done to prevent Charlie Sturgis from becoming excited," one newspaper noted. The truth slowly emerged over the next several days. After escaping the state hospital, Charlie had traveled to Washington State, where he'd worked in various towns before deciding he missed home and wanted to see his family. But this didn't answer the big question. Who was the man buried in the Sturgis plot? And why was he wearing Charlie's clothes, down to the patient number he'd been issued at the state hospital? Part of this was eventually answered when Charlie explained that the group who'd escaped the institution in April of 1915 had hatched an unusual plot. They had decided to all trade clothes before splitting up in order to confuse any authorities they encountered. But as to the man who was, and how, and why, he met his grisly fate, we'll probably never know. One thing we can be sure of, the Sturgis family was much brighter that Thanksgiving. "Oh, it is a happy Thanksgiving for us," Bertha Hurst, the sister, told the Oregonian. "We are so happy because Charlie has come home brighter than ever before. Our sorrow has been turned to joy." She said the family would not be returning Charlie to the state hospital, and also that the unknown man whose body had been buried in the Sturgis plot would be exhumed immediately and laid to rest elsewhere. Now, hopefully they waited till after Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, we were unable to follow the threads of this fascinating story beyond 1915. But if you know anything about what became of Charles Sturgis and his family, please let us know. Up next is the story of the Shooting Star, a longtime member of the U.S. rifle team from right here in Canby. That's next time on Canby Then.
Hey, Tyler.
Yeah?
Can you do me a favor? Just real quick, name all the services that you're subscribed to.
Okay. Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu. There's like Google stuff, I think. My wife, I think, does a cat thing, and I'm looking into Dollar Shave Club.
It's starting to get a little ridiculous, right? There's even an app to manage all of your subscriptions now. Of course, it comes with its own monthly convenience fee. It can get a little overwhelming. They've even coined a term for it, subscription fatigue.
If you're being hit with subscription fatigue blues, we have a solution for you, at least when it comes to streaming options. Try Easy Video TV from Direct Link. It offers your favorite shows and movies all in one app on the same bill as your internet service.
Direct Link is a local community-based provider that has your back. Record your favorite shows, watch them anywhere, and access all the major local and cable TV networks with an Easy Video subscription.
Why are we still sitting here? How do I sign up? Let's go!
Well, it's easy. Just call DirectLink at 503-266-8111, visit their office at Juniper and 2nd, or go to directlink.coop to switch to Easy Video TV today. Hey Tyler, did you know that the world has changed in the past 20 years?
No way!
Yep, it's true. The way people shop for goods and services has completely changed since this thing called the internet started catching on.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And yet some realtors still offer the same old services in the same old ways and for the same old percentages. Victory Point Property Group in Canby believes it's time the real estate business caught up with the times. They'll meet with you for free, explain every step of the process, give you a clear game plan, and even let you choose the listing commission.
Really? They let you choose their commission?
Really? Victory Point Property Group understands this is one of the biggest and most exciting decisions of your life, and they'll do everything they can to make sure you handle it like a rock star.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm going to check them out by calling 503-263-4700 or by visiting online at victorypointhomes.com.
You do that. Victory Point Property Group, real estate reimagined.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
The Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
Huge thank you as well to our supporters on Patreon. We rely on your monthly contributions to continue to do this work that we seriously love. For information on how you can become one of the coolest people in the world, a patron of the Canby Now podcast, visit canbynowpod.com/plus.